Hi, I'm Tricia McCannon, and thanks for joining us for a brief history of the legacy of the mystery schools. The legacy of the great mystery schools of the past stretches back into the dawn of man's earliest history. Some have claimed that the masters who've long overseen the evolution of the human race have always had a representative here on Earth, that the great civilizations of Atlantis and Lemuria, who also had their chapters in the ancient mystery traditions in their respective ages, have continued to work behind the scenes in our age, the fourth age of mankind. What is certain is that all of the great mystery schools of the past were connected with one another through a group called the Fellowship of Light, or some call it the Great White Brotherhood. This term refers to the color white, a color that's closest to illumination and the radiance of the sun. The word brotherhood here is a reference to the equality of all men and all women who stand shoulder to shoulder as equals, no matter what their rank or financial standing. This spiritual order exists not only in the third dimension, but in the higher worlds. It's an off-world order, actually, of sages and mystics and masters whose seat of power is in the fifth dimension and who have already achieved enlightenment. Among their many chapters are the mysterious Magi, the contemplative Buddhist, the Celtic Druids, the mystical Essenes, and the ancient order of the Egyptian Therapeutae. These are the traditions in which Jesus himself trained, and these various chapters can be represented as a 12-rayed wheel. Some of their better-known chapters are the Order of Melchizedek that we hear about in the Old Testament Bible, the Rosicrucians that came on the scene in the 1500s, the Eleusinian Mysteries of ancient Greece, the Oracle Centers of Delphi, Ephesus, Sais, and Buto, the Persian Mithrans and the Zoroastrians, the egalitarian Freemasons, the gentle Theosophist, the courageous Knights Templar of legend, the Holy Cathars, the Knights of the Round Table, the Order of the Golden Dawn, and the ancient Order of King Solomon. For untold ages, they have sought to bring the torch of illumination to humanity and to teach the ever-pervasive, transcendent power of God and the innate divinity of the human soul. Robert McCoy, a 33-degree Mason, writes, quote, "Throughout time, the mystery school's chief objective was to teach the doctrine of one God, the resurrection of man to eternal life, the dignity of the human soul, and to lead the people to see the shadow of the deity in the beauty, magnificence, and splendor of the universe." End quote. Even a partial history of the great spiritual mystery traditions reveals that at the time of Pythagoras, between 570 and 495 BC, the great mystery schools had been in existence for some 3,500 years. Most of us don't know this today. From the scholarly work of Kurt Sigelman, who wrote Magic, Supernaturalism, and Religion, we know that there was a priesthood in Mesopotamia and Chaldea some 4,000 years before Jesus. These schools of learning were still functioning in Alexandria, Egypt, when Emperor Theodosius of Rome, he lived about 347 to 395 AD, ordered the dismantling of all spiritual temples except the Christian ones. His series of papal mandates and Theodosian decrees actually declared that those pagan feasts that had not been rendered Christian ones were now to be considered work days. This happened in 389 AD. And in 391, Theodosius decreed, quote, "No one is to go to the sanctuaries, walk through the temples, or raise his eyes to statues created by the labor of man," end quote. Yet today, we can still find remnants of the mystery school's once great wisdom in the teachings of early mystics and masters like the Greek master Pythagoras, Socrates, Plato, Hypatia, Pericles, Plutarch, Pindar, Parmenides, Zeno, Thales, Plotinus, Cirio, Anaxagoras, and Heraclitus. We also find it in the great master Issa, or Jesus. We find it in the Chinese master Lao Tzu, and finally in Buddha, who were all initiates of the great mystery schools. We begin to gain a glimpse of the power and the majesty of these teachings in the legacy of teachers like Asclepius, who is considered the father of healing, or Democritus, who was considered the father of the atom long before even the birth of Christ, Pythagoras, the father of mathematics, Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, from where we get the Hippocratic Oath today, Euclid, the father of geometry, Euclidean geometry, and Orpheus, the father of music and poetry, as well as initiates like the Pharaoh Akhenaten and the patriarch Moses, all of whom were trained in the mysteries. But these mysteries of discovering our own eternal natures were probably first taught by the great Master Thoth, from whom we get the word thought today. Known as Hermes Trismegistus, or thrice great Hermes to the Greeks, his real Sumerian name was Ningishzita. Thoth was one of the immortals, a long-lived Anunnaki god who came from the sky to excavate and then civilize our planet many thousands of years ago. As one of the three original makers of mankind, or genetic scientist, who jump-started our transition from Cro-Magnon man to Homo sapiens sapien genetically, Thoth had a deep and abiding love for mankind, and it is to him that we must give credit for establishing these first schools of wisdom. Then later, his wise daughter Isis and her beloved husband Osiris, and finally their long-awaited son, Horus. It is Thoth who said, "Ye are gods in the body of mortals, and we are souls in the bodies of gods," reminding us that the divinity that is common to us all lies within both human mortal beings and immortal gods, and that when cultivated, this divinity lies within our human grasp. Throughout the centuries, many men have sought the mystery's wisdom. They've sought to find the lost word, to remember that which was lost. One could say that the search for truth was the story arc of every single hero or heroine, the chronicle of every soul that journeys into the lower worlds. And you would be right, for this is actually the search for the self, or the true self, and the doorway to illumination. The list is long of legendary initiates who have trained within these great mystery schools. Let's just name a few. The master mage Merlin of ancient Arthurian legend, Simon Magus, The list is long of legendary initiates who have trained within the great mystery schools. Let's just name a few. We have Merlin, the magician of Arthurian fame, Simon Magus, the master Serapis Bey of Egypt, the patriarch Enoch, Quetzalcoatl from the Central American countries, and the Comte de Saint-Germain from all of Europe. We can see the influence of Hermetic thinking in the mystery teachings in the work and the discoveries of Sir Isaac Newton, Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, and Johannes Kepler. The love and haunting loss of the knowledge of these great mysteries reverberates through the poetry of 19th century poets like William Wordsworth, John Butler Keats, Percy Shelley, and Gordon, Lord Byron. Over the centuries, as one can observe, the great mystery schools of the past disappeared, one by one, and then suddenly, all at once. They pulled themselves back into the inner planes. One could say they pulled the curtain and vanished behind the mist of Avalon, that the once great river of light that had flowed across our planet spiritually, philosophically, and scientifically in the five centuries preceding the birth of Jesus, ground to a halt during the Dark Ages and the many centuries of the Inquisition. Fear reigned supreme. Superstition was rewarded. Intelligence was punished and thwarted. And the money and power rule the age. As a result, the great wisdom traditions went underground, and although many chapters survived in the first four or five centuries after Jesus' death, from the time of the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, the great spiritual mysteries were not allowed to flourish publicly or privately. Thus, they had to go underground. Passed through many secret organizations like the Masons and the Rosicrucians, the esoteric aspects of their wisdom were usually kept hidden from the public. Thus, this ancient knowledge was not only passed from one teacher to only a few students at a time orally, but the rest of the world largely fell asleep. Over the course of nearly 1,500 years, the heavy-handed politics of the Roman Catholic Church squeezed the river of light into many small tributaries, and the true knowledge of the great spiritual mysteries ended altogether in many places around the world. Certainly, at times, whatever was left of this secret stream appears to have been broken or polluted, rechanneled or buried, as vast libraries were burned, people were killed, and the groups that remained were infiltrated or persecuted. But truth simply does not die. Fresh springs of wisdom arose from a still deeper source of masters within the Great White Brotherhood, although they were largely kept hidden. Yet the reawakening of this knowledge seemed to arise with the coming of the Renaissance and the unearthing and translations of the Hermetic books of Thoth. We see evidence of this rekindling of spirit not only in the rise of the arts, humanities, and sciences of the 15th and 16th century, but in the appearance of the Rosicrucian order in the late 1400s. This ancient order put out a call in newspapers across Europe that the mysteries were not dead and that the ancient wisdom of the great sages of the past still lived on in the hearts of men. No matter what the stakes, the desire for a true connection with God sang out within the soul of humanity and could not be quenched, for the hunger within the human heart is man's longing for God. And since we are made of the star stuff of creation, this thirst will never die. Always the stream flowed on. In the 19th and 20th centuries, this river of golden light inspired an enormous body of knowledge in the work of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, author of the esoteric classics, The Secret Doctrine, and Isis Unveiled. A Russian princess by birth, Helena ran away from home at the age of 19. She refused to marry an older count who she had been betrothed to. She fled to Egypt for many years and then to Britain and then lived in Europe. Madame Blavatsky was to become the first white person to enter Tibet in the late 1800s. She was following the advice of her master, who had appeared to her in two separate visions. The first time he had appeared to her in a London market. He told her that the time would come when he would summon her to study with him. And then the second time he appeared, he summoned her to Tibet. Once entering Tibet, Blavatsky spent 3 years in the cave studying with masters from the Great White Brotherhood. She returned to Europe and embarked on an amazing career teaching to a wide variety of students, from heads of states to philosophers and writers, prime ministers to artists. Her teachings became known as Theosophy, meaning God wisdom, or the wisdom of Sophia the goddess. Theo means God, of course, and Sophia is the goddess of wisdom. So, Theosophy. While there is much that can be said and studied about this remarkable woman, who was clearly a sage in herself, her access to the wisdom of the masters awoke several entire generations of poets, musicians, philosophers, and scholars, and spawned several mystical orders in Europe and America. These include a resurgence of the Freemasons, the Druids, and Christian movements like Mary Baker Eddy's Christian Science. This parallels the rise of the great Romantic poets and writers like Henry David Thoreau, Ralph Waldo Emerson, and William Wordsworth, all of whom wrote of these lost mysteries. New magical orders arose, passing on what had been preserved from the past, tapping into lost knowledge, creating and recreating space for sacred ceremony and a direct connection with the divine. The first of these was the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, established in London in 1888 as a mystical fraternity that brought together the spiritual influences of the Jewish Kabbalah, the Rosicrucians, the Freemasons, and the Theosophists. Their insignia was a cross and a pyramid, representing the threefold path of enlightenment, the pyramid, and the ancient mysteries of Egypt, and the way of the return, symbolized by the cross, the Christian symbol for the tree of life. The Order of the Golden Dawn is credited to have been found by William Went Westcott, a prominent London Freemason. But there were many other famous scholars and statesmen, philosophers and scientists, including William Butler Yeats and Israeli Regarde, who were members of her order. Traditions, rituals, and magic from the Order of the Golden Dawn have been since incorporated into many modern mystical organizations. Their core tenets were these. One, they believed in one underlying God of creation. So they were monotheistic, although they understood that there are many aspects of the divine force expressed throughout all of creation. Two, they believed that this ultimate divinity lies both inside of us and also outside of us in the world of nature. Three, they believed that humanity had somehow become separated from our awareness of this divinity and must return to the divine. In order to do this, we had to begin a path of learning that encompassed spirituality, mysticism, gnosis, which means to know oneself, and magic. Four, their philosophies encompassed an understanding of the microcosm and the macrocosm, reflecting the ancient Hermetic law, as above, so below, and as below, so above. Five, the core of their wisdom was based on Western philosophy and mysticism, particularly Egyptian, Greek, and Roman traditions. As time went on, other esoteric orders arose, either newly formed or just emerging from the inner planes again. In 1903, the Order of the Golden Dawn began to split into smaller groups. None of these organizations ever intended to become a religion. Like other mystical groups, they preferred to focus on the philosophical and spiritual evolution of mankind. Their approach was to create a school of knowledge, teaching students through a systemized initiatory system the various stages of philosophy, spiritual exercises, and magic. These organizations birthed wonderful scholars like the eloquent writer and teacher Manly P. Hall, the amazing Rudolf Steiner, who began the Waldorf Steiner schools, Annie Besant, Charles Ledbetter, and Emanuel Swedenborg. All 20th century mystics who sought to understand, codify, systemize, and penetrate the wisdom behind the ancient mystery traditions. It also opened the way for early 20th century Egyptologists like R.A. Schwaller-Delubich, General Gerald Massey, and John Anthony West in a later generation to begin to identify key elements in Egyptian architecture and archaeology directly related to the ancient mysteries. Later, these early pioneers would create a basic foundation for all other mystics, teachers, and investigators to find a voice. These include the enduring and well-renowned mystic Edgar Cayce, as well as 33-degree Masons like H. Spencer Lewis and Robert McCoy, along with other trance channels like Jane Roberts, who wrote the famous book Seth Speaks, and American initiates from the 1930s and 1950s like Erlaney Chaney. During the early years of the 20th century, other spiritual orders came into being, including the Servants of the Light, the Order of the Morning Star, the Builders of the Adium, the Fellowship of Isis, the Order of the Rose of Ruby, the Alpha and the Omega, the Cross of Gold, and Aleister Crowley's rather infamous Ordo Templa Orionis, or the OTO, which added more questionable and sometimes distracting practices like sex magic to their repertoire. While certainly each of these organizations has had its own unique vision, history, and a share of challenges, each in their own way has sought to return us to a place of deeper questioning and to seed the energy for mankind's awakening now as we stand on the brink of the Age of Aquarius. At a larger level, the ancient schools, as well as many of the more modern versions, have long been geared to teaching us how to open the door to the inner worlds, to our own innate mystical abilities. They have long been dedicated to cultivating a path of knowledge into the innermost aspects of our being. Through a systemized process of initiatory teachings, processes, meditation practices, and direct out-of-body experiences, they sought to awaken the inner light of creativity, inspiration, and love. As scholars, mystics, and philosophers, they are committed to embracing an approach to understanding the mysteries of the universe through science, religion, and philosophy, a triune balance of disciplines that allows us to begin to comprehend the amazing world that lies around us. Their task, like our own today, is to remember and to re-embody the wisdom that dwells deep within the soul of all true human beings, to make contact with the many spiritual divinities who dwell on the inner planes for the purposes of bringing back a vision of unification to the world. They understood that no matter which path one begins one's journey on, all roads ultimately lead back to the one great source. Each is connected to the great cosmic ocean of love and wisdom. We have but to open our minds to that connection, ground ourselves in the light of God, and let it lead us home. This has been Tricia McCannon, and thanks for joining us. If you're interested in finding more about our audiobooks or our written books or courses, please go to our website at www.trishamcannonspeaks.com.